Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylorford, joined by Ash Millman.
Hello.
And joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Hello, hello.
And we're going to dissect the week's news because there's some things a-brewing. Now, I'm going to open this with a ridiculous statement, which is that a rapper, you might remember him, Soulja Boy himself.
Oh. Soulja Boy, I've been
I never knew. I remember him being a thing, but I didn't know his song.
He had that song, one Soulja.
And then my wife was like, yeah, he did that one anthem, which apparently was an anthem. Either way,
It was a schoolyard stomp. As the kids call it.
So, yeah, he's trying to cash in on that fame by releasing a series of video game consoles.
10 years later.
Because, you know, video games. And so, yeah, he's got the Soulja Game handheld, the retro Soulja Boy Mini, and the Soulja Game Fuse. And apparently the Fuse is already a company, is already a thing from 2016. And he just sort of went in there with his Soulja Boy goodness and said, hey, let's touch this up and re-release it again. The problem, though, is that if you've checked out any gameplay footage online, basically he has produced them all himself and he's selling them through his own website. Not literally him soldering them together. Okay. But he's managed to do it all himself.
Soldering together. Boy.
Yes, him. Either way, he's selling everything through his website, which means that he's just got a bunch of consoles and put a bunch of games on that he has no licenses
is
for.
All kinds of illegal.
It's kind of all kinds of illegal. And so, yeah, he's selling them through his website. And if you look at the footage that's available online, it's basically just a big old main menu, and you just pick, hey, do you want to play NES games, SNES games, PS1, Game Boy Advance, just all with the right iconography, the right logos, Crash Bandicoot's on there, Mario is on there,
why not?
Everything is on there.
I mean, if you can get away with it.
You can't get away with it.
No
so
way.
That brings me on to the addendum to this news thing, which is that Nintendo have immediately sent him a letter. This is according to Bleeding Cool. It says, Nintendo has sent the letter to Soulja Boy, informing him that the design violates the Trademark Counterfeiting Act, and that can include jail time.
Oh.
So he's doing well, Mr. Soulja Boy, but what do we think of knockoff consoles? In general.
I think knockoff consoles, they're obviously hilarious. Because,
yep.
I mean, we all had, when all our friends all had like PlayStations, I know you had a PlayStation show.
You discriminated against the stashing.
There was,
shockers.
There was always that one kid who didn't have a PlayStation but had this like
301
thing that had 300 games on it. Yeah,
and the PlayStation.
It's just hilarious because it's like, you know, I'm better than you. I've got 300 games. Really, are you though?
I don't know. Like, have you guys ever just when you were wandering around a random market, has picked up a console like that just for the sheer lulz?
I have the handheld ones.
Yeah.
Like the proper like rip-off Mega Drive things. Like not the official ones. Ones where they just stuck them all on.
Yep.
So you could play them like that. I've had a couple of them. But yeah, very funny. Obviously bad for Nintendo, but very funny. And like, hey, if you get to play the games, then...
I mean, looking at the... because there's hardly any... There's a bunch of videos on YouTube, but obviously, you know, it's weird to review this sort of thing because it's hard to get your hands on unless you go straight through Soulja Boy's website.
Yeah.
But the actual emulations that he's using apparently aren't very good anyway.
Aww.
So some of the footage online was showing Pokemon. It was like Fire Red because just pretty much everything is on there. And people try to play Pokemon. They're just full of screen tearing and it's just a complete kind of cluster.
You get what you pay for, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, no one was going to Soulja Boy going, hey, can you make a game console, please? Because that's what we think you're missing.
I just love that he has the balls to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just absolutely ridiculous. That's what the whole thing is. It's just entertaining because it is ridiculous.
I think somewhere along the way, like, the statistics do kind of make sense because he would have just been like, well, the video game industry's big and I'm Soulja Boy, so I should do these things. But anyway, moving on to slightly more positive things. The Final Fantasy VII Remake, where are we both on that?
Very hype.
Lists, rather.
Very hype. It comes up in lists all the time, and it's a game I've never played. And I need to play it just to be one of the cool kids.
I might crowdfund something to get you to play Final Fantasy VII. You're missing that in your life.
That weird blocky looking.
You played 14 the other day.
I'm kidding. It does look great. I just have time. So much time.
You've got the time.
But yeah, I do. I'm really looking forward to the remake because it'll be good to play it on my current gen hardware.
Woo. I'm sure that's where it's coming out. I'm sure it's definitely coming out as well. I'm definitely not doubtful of it.
It's definitely.
Although this news thing comes from Yoshinori Katase, who was speaking to Famitsu and said that Final Fantasy VII Remake is going smoothly as far as the development goes. So it just seems that it was announced way too early. I think we first saw it back in 2015. The announcement trailer at E3.
That's been a while.
Or, but it's going smoothly.
It's going smoothly.
That's all we could want. That's all we want.
Trailer?
No, just smoothness.
The general sort of like rumor with that was that Tetsuya Nomura, who's the game's director, apparently didn't know he was on the project until he saw his name in the credits as the announcement trailer came out. So that's apparently how quickly they put that together. Even if that's not true, I like to choose to believe it.
Yeah.
What a guy, though.
Yeah, so apparently he was talking to Famitsu, said the thing about it going smoothly, and when as part of the write-up, the different developers were asked to submit a keyword that sort of described how they were doing, and he submitted long wait. Definitely.
He is a man of few words.
That's true.
That's not a key word. That's true.
It's not. He just sort of broke the rules. But apparently Final Fantasy VII's remake is going to be episodic as well. So I don't know if they've got around that.
I heard that. I mean, we've seen episodic games work with story games, but for a game where a lot of people know the story, I don't know if it's a good idea.
It's a bit strange. I mean, considering that like Final Fantasy VII is known for being one of the most immersive RPGs of all time, like releasing it in chunks But I mean, for me, it kind of worked with Hitman like that. 2016's Hitman came out in like episodes and everyone hated it. But to be honest, it was one of the best ways to play that game because you kind of got to mine. I mean, it's a different structure for a game, but you got to mine like the levels for that whole month and then you got more content. It was kind of more consistent.
Yeah, because that really worked really well for Hitman because, correct me if I'm wrong, I've not played it, but you went to different cities in each chapter. So that worked really well for Hitman from what I can gather, but I'm concerned about it working.
There's a possibility that if, depending on where they, because they have to pick specific points to cut the episodes in 7. Because Ash, have you played Final Fantasy 7?
I haven't played Final Fantasy 7. I'm also excited to play it on the current gen. I just sat here quietly because I thought, I'm excited to play it on the current gen as well.
But my point was going to be that Final Fantasy VII is such an immersive thing and they're going to have to go back into it and find specific points to cut off if they're going to release it in episodes. But that could have the positive effect of, if you think of it like a TV series, then you get people talking about those plot points and those twists and everything.
Yeah.
So there's probably a way to do it that'll work out.
It is a nice way to mediate on things, but I think for RPGs and for like long form stories, I don't know. I think it works really well for like Telltale games and like, as in the ones that are and Life is Strange and those ones that function like TV episodes or points in their lives that need reflecting on. So maybe this will work in the same way, but I don't know. It's a strange way of doing long form if it's one plot point after another that's happening. Like if it was like next day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think ultimately, I mean, if he says development's going smoothly, because initially in 2015, they were like, we'll show you more in December.
Yeah.
And they just didn't.
Yeah.
So like, actually, I think they put out like a tiny little gameplay demo. But I think at this point, it was clearly announced too early and it's about time that they sort of followed up on it. Mm. So whatever. But I don't know if you guys are keeping up on the Street Fighter scene.
I mean, love me some fighting games.
I also love me some fighting games. Smash is the best one going right now. But
Smash is the best.
Capcom insists on butchering Street Fighter V even more. So if you don't already know, Street Fighter V didn't have the best launch. It kind of released in like threadbare form and they sort of like just plugged content back into it. And so at this stage, they've started advertising the Capcom Pro Tour, which is like their big esports fighting tournament, in the game. So I don't know if you guys have already seen the images, but basically they've made it so that like they have Capcom Pro Tour stickers just all over the characters, kind of like NASCAR style. And it looks horrific. So I'll show you an example. We'll have to put it on the screen somehow. But you see how he's got the stickers just on his gloves.
Yeah, he's got like punchy pro.
I got you, fam. I'll put it up for you.
Yeah, we'll put it up for you. But that's what we're dealing with. It's just characters that just have stickers over them. One of the most egregious ones is Akuma has it on his back, which is like where his main symbol is, like the iconic symbol of that character. Kind of Street Fighter, you can argue, just replaced with a big old sticker on the back of him.
I love it. I love all these audacious people just doing ridiculous things. Like it's just funny.
So
it's their platform. Yeah. It's their game.
If they want to butcher it, then butcher it. Like, go ahead.
It is kind of, it's their platform to lose. So their fallback is that you can turn it off. It's on by default, but you can go into the options and turn it off. This sparks a wider conversation as to in-game advertising, because what do you guys think of that? Would you be annoyed if your game started having actual in-game advertising all the time?
I think it's very clever and interesting when certain, like, science fiction games have big cities and you can have advertisements in them where normal real life sort of situations would have advertisements.
Like a billboard.
Billboards. And blimps and like rolling like electronic things.
More blimps.
We've got
loads
of them in Newcastle, these blimps.
I think that's funny and interesting and something that's a comment on reality and a little like crossover. I think that's cool. Shoving it in on boxing gloves and backs and just going, hey, is that a thing? Maybe a bit much. But it's like Batman versus Superman in I Am Legend. I know not a game, but that was really interesting because then it came like they actually made the film wasn't it? So it was like pre-advertising,
right?
Also predicting the future,
foreshadowing, I guess. Yeah.
I think
exactly that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think for me it depends on if you're, because in this case, like it doesn't really work in a game for me. It doesn't really work if it's a full price game because you've already paid the money for it. Therefore, you shouldn't be bombarded with advertising to get something else. I think it can better work in something like Rocket League or FIFA.
Yeah.
Something that sort of plays into the idea of like more I mean, FIFA does it anyway.
I was going to say.
Yeah, different adverts on the pitch or whatever.
Yeah.
But those games are still premium things. And I think it depends how you do it because this is clearly very crowbarred in. But I remember one of the first cases of advertising in gaming, and it's not going to be one of the first cases, but I remember Alan Wake being talked about quite a lot because the batteries you got in Alan Wake were Duracells.
Yes!
And that was like a thing.
That's how you know they last long. Well,
that's what
longer.
They want you to remember. But it's like, I remember when that happened, just thinking like, well, that's not a problem. Batteries are Duracells. That's fine.
Yeah.
But there are like sort of weird little, not morals, but weird ramifications around the pricing of things like that. If you're being like sort of if things are blocking out different parts of the game world for the sake of plastering an advert on, even though you've already paid full price for it, I think that's an interesting conversation to have.
Yeah, it goes one or two ways. It's either going to absolutely break your immersion because you're like, what is this Duracell doing in the middle of this world? Or it's going to go, oh, hey, I recognize that from real life. That is a way for me connecting these two worlds together a little
bit.
Completely opposite. Yeah, I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. As long as they don't, like, I don't know, put like a sticker on Shovel Knight's head, then I'm fine.
But it's just cheeky, isn't it?
But it's very cheeky. I don't like their sort of business fallback. Like, well, you can turn it off if you don't like it. It's like, well, you just threw it in my face in the first place. So I've kind of got to.
I mean, costuming is completely different, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, it's sort of like they are real fighters, real boxers who would have sponsors, I guess.
So I'll give you a nice little statistic now, which is kind of crazy. You remember the original Xbox? Not the Xbox One, but the Xbox One.
I still have mine. It's home.
The brick, massive, van-sized thing.
It was large.
So apparently the Nintendo Switch has already outsold the original Xbox's lifetime sales. So this comes from VG Charts, who said that 24.92 million units have been sold compared to the original Xbox's 24.65 million.
Holy butts!
So the Switch is already kind of leading, even though we kind of associate like Xbox is starting that platform off.
So that's over how many years, but the Switch has only been out, it's less than 2 years.
Yeah, exactly, in 2016.
Awesome.
So it's kind of crazy, but it's a bit of a cool thing. I mean, I have nostalgia for the original Xbox. I don't know if you guys do, but like logo and stuff.
Totally loved it. You could argue, like, obviously, like, that was a long time ago. I want to say it was about 15 years ago.
12 was a good year.
15 years
ago? Yeah, something like that.
Oh, it was a long time ago. And gaming is huge now. Like, it's much more popular. It's much more mainstream. So people are spending more money on gaming.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's bound to happen.
Oh, the general like worldwide revenue is ridiculous. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys saw earlier this week a bunch of Sony statistics leaked. They revealed a thing called, it was called My PS4 Life. And
we
did
it.
We did it because we have
PlayStation.
Guess
what my top three games were?
Well, it's probably Souls Remastered.
Souls and Bloods and Borns.
And so they put this out. You couldn't do it, sadly, because you're on Xbox.
No, I got a PlayStation. I have PlayStation and bought it this year, but I haven't played anything.
What the hell?
Because I had everything. Oh, it's a long story. I had everything on Xbox One, and now I'm playing on it.
Okay.
So I've got like 2 hours on The Last of Us or something.
At least you started strong. Get there. So Sony put out this My PS4 Life thing where you could put your gamer tag in, and it would tell you, okay, you spent this much time on these many games, and you got this trophies and whatever. And so basically, people realized that trophy data, the way it's always been put out on the websites, is you have a percentage stat. So it'd be like, okay, 30% of people have this trophy.
Yeah.
But you never knew a specific numerical figure like as to what that 30% was. And so when they did the My PS4 Life thing, it tells you, like, hey, you have this trophy, and 500,000 people also have this trophy.
Yeah, that was really interesting. my rarest trophy, only like 1,000 people have it.
Yeah.
Mm. It was on Disney Infinity.
Big ups for Disney Infinity. I'm one of the only people who own that thing. But because they finally, because the thing is, Sony have always been notoriously cagey about their player data because it can be misused or it can be put out there. They don't necessarily want the competition knowing exactly what sells and what doesn't.
Oh.
But because they then put out this My PS4 Life thing and they told you, hey, 30% is X figure, people can then realize, well, if 30% is this, then 70% is this. Therefore, the full game is being played by this many people.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And so people kind of reverse engineered a whole bunch of stats. So website gamstat.com has everything on.
Love me some gams.
I'm a big fan of the gam stats. Pretty gammy. And so everything is on there now. So people are basically, whoever's crunching these figures is just kind of going game by game because they have to rely on people submitting their own My PS4 Life stats so that they can then do the figures. But I've pulled some specific figures from this. What do you guys think is the least played game on the PS4?
Oh, just like ever.
Well, not ever, because the least played one ever was this little tiny indie thing.
Yeah, it's going to be like a little tiny game, isn't it?
So I guess actually I'll throw this out and you can just react. So only 35,800 people played The Walking Dead final season. So that's quite small.
Actually, I am one of the people that hasn't played that yet.
Well, so you're part of the problem, Rachel.
I played the first season.
Yeah, I think everybody did.
With the Telltale game.
I played the last one because the first season is so good. It's enough, end it there.
For me, I was like first season, then the 400 days thing. And I did do season two, but then I dropped the hell off after that.
Two was good. One was the best. Mm-hmm. I was waiting on the whole thing coming out.
Yeah.
Before getting it.
They might do that eventually.
RIP.
It's the RIP, the good makers of story-driven things. But yeah, so basically if you go across the entire, like all the player data, you'll sort of find that the average amount of people that play something is in the millions. So 35,800 is minute.
That's tiny.
Yeah. And contributed obviously to Telltale's like downfall kind of thing. Some other figures, Pyre was on 67,500. Pyre is Super Giant's game, which I adore. Fallout 76, what do you guys think that's on?
Not high.
Four players.
Two of them are in this room.
One of them is Rich.
Rich and his friends are propping up Fallout 76. Yeah. Fallout 76 came in at 407,000.
That's close.
Which you got a four in it.
That so is minuscule.
Apparently that's yeah, it's not good for them. Farming Simulator 15 is on 900,000. So that's kind of destroying it.
Get out.
Hey, the farming sim games have a hell of a fan base.
Well, they're hard. They do.
It's weird.
They're difficult.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
No, big up the sim games. Big up the sims. It's just Farming Simulator is like this thing with Rich just blowing up there, doesn't he? Like,
yeah. Although, in just when we're talking about farming, farm game, Stardew Valley is the best thing. So I've got to throw that in there.
It is.
So another addendum for these figures is that they're all taken from mid-November, because by the time Sony put their MyPS4 Live thing out, all those statistics were taken from a couple of weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
So all these stats are relative of November. Some things from the middle, Red Dead Redemption 2 is on 7.7 million, even though it's only been out for however long, a month and a bit.
Didn't it have the biggest entertainment release?
Yeah, like ever or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's going to have like some fat player.
But it's insane. I mean, yeah, you compare it to like, you talk about like story franchises and story developers, Bethesda versus Rockstar at the minute. They're just in different realms kind of thing at the minute. Some other things, Overwatch is on 10,200,000. What do you guys think Fortnite is on?
Or a billion.
It's not in the highest bracket of games.
A seventh of the world playing Fortnite. Oh my God.
An entire continent just playing Fortnite. Fortnite is actually on 16,200,000, so it's not as big as you think.
Oh my God.
Rocket League beats that with 22,600,000, which I'm a big fan.
This is so many people.
Yeah. I know.
It's not a billion people, though.
So let's get into the highest ones. What do you guys think is the most played game on PS4?
The most played game on PS4, I'm going to say, is Grand Theft Auto 5.
You are wrong.
Oh no, the pressure.
Think of the big old franchises. You've got your football games, you've got your shooting games. Well, not Skyrim. FIFA, Skyrim isn't
FIFA,
even on
it's here. Going to be FIFA 18, or is it 19's out now?
I will give you FIFA.
Call of Duty.
Which Call of Duty?
Black Ops 4.
Yes.
Nice.
Black Ops 4 is on 57 million, which is doing very well for Activision. So some of the stats in the top bracket. You are close with GTA 5. That's 55,900,000.
Only and 55 then million.
All the FIFAs are actually interestingly quite close to each other. FIFA 18 is on 32,500,000. FIFA 17 is on 30 million. And FIFA 16 is 28,300,000.
Ah, so it's going up every year.
So they went up by 2 million players every year, which is like, that's kind of, I don't know, for me, obviously the people who play FIFA every year do carry across, but they're still managing to bring more people in.
Yeah,
that's so good. I mean, good for FIFA. I know I joke and I say like the world does not need more FIFAs, but I mean that's proof.
I could have done with Googling some statistics of some small countries, because I bet that like 50 million, 57 million or whatever is the size of like a small country in my terribly geographically addled brain. But maybe it's a thing. Let's move on to your friend and mine, Alfonso Ribeiro, also known as Colton, because he's suing Fortnite alongside. Was that your attempt at the dance?
I'm trying not to whack the microphone.
No, that's the thing.
I tried to do this the other day. There's no click in it. Maybe there is.
Anyway. So it took him a while, but he basically realized that the Carlton dance is in Fortnite and he's Carlton, so what the hell? And so he kind of like, you know, started this whole lawsuit against Fortnite and Epic or whatever. And now that he's out there, rapper 2 Milly and the Backpack Kid have joined in, because the Backpack Kid did the floss dance thing, which is also in Fortnite. And people refer to that thing as like the Fortnite. Well, they refer to it as flossing, but that it came
it
from
is
Fortnite.
The Fortnite dance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas, what do you call it, Mr. Kid was like, actually, that's mine.
Yeah.
And so those three people
Mr. Kid,
they're all like mounting up together to try and do this thing against Epic and get some sort of royalties back as to the dances that they created. So a quote from Variety was from Alfonso Ribeiro's lawyer, who said that the Carlton is inextricably linked to the actor and is a part of his celebrity persona, and both Epic and Take-Two have unfairly profited from his creative expression, likeness and celebrity without his consent and without compensation.
Yeah.
So,
well, they literally motion captured
Have you seen the side-by-side thing? Like... Yeah. So one of the gifs that was doing the rounds, or might have been a video, was just a side-by-side comparison showing Ribeiro doing the dance. I think it was on some BBC show. Mm. And they literally, if you have them side-by-side, it looks like it was motion captured.
Yeah.
So he is overdue some royalties.
Oh, 100%. Like, all these dances and stuff, I thought that they'd gotten, like, permission.
You'd assume so.
Yeah, you would assume so.
Yeah, and then it's also been so long, so it's taken ages for them to, like, pick up on this and go, actually, that's mine.
It's weird because the Carlton's been in multiple games. Like, it's been in a whole bunch of, it's been an emote order in a bunch of games. It was in the Saints Row games as well.
Oh, was it?
But he never, as far as I know, unless it was squared off behind the scenes, I don't think he ever kicked up a fuss about that.
Yeah.
Might be because Mr. Ribeiro is a very nice man.
Yeah,
but like, I think he probably just let it go. And after a while, he's like, the whole world's playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
And I could do with some kickback.
No.
Because he is responsible
for
it.
Very, very fair, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's his dance, it's his intellectual property. They need to sort it out with him. Mm. Like, that's not cool. Don't steal things.
No, and I think that, like, it's very easy for him to prove it as well. So it's assumedly going to be an open shut thing. I don't know what 2 Milly's dance is, but we know what the Backpack Kid is.
Yeah.
So, and people don't know the backpack kid. I knew that as the Fortnite dance. Mm. So it's about time that he sort of got his due as well.
I thought we should throw us back to the earlier point where the knockoff consoles as well. Stealing also bad for those, like, funny. The Fortnite dance also good and funny, but stealing is bad for all these things.
Stealing is definitely bad.
They definitely should get their recompense.
And no one should upset Mr.
Christmas.
Ribeiro.
It's
Christmas. Yeah, exactly.
Then he steal.
Yeah. No, not especially when it's Alfonso Ribeiro, the nicest man. Like, yeah. That's his full name. Okay, so we can end on a German dispute between Nintendo and the German Consumer Protection Authority.
Yeah,
I don't know how much you guys have experienced this, but if you've bought games digitally, have you ever wanted to refund them?
I have had to do that once, mm-hmm. Yes. It was something I bought on a whim. It was actually on the Xbox store. It was so easy to refund,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So in terms of the console refund policies on digital refunds, Xbox or Microsoft are the only storefront that lets you do it. Sony and Nintendo don't.
Right.
And so there's kind of a whole thing. I mean, I think this is an ongoing conversation as to, like, you know, consumer rights in regards to digital property. But this particular case is more regarding pre-orders. And so if you pre-order something on the eShop you've paid for it, Nintendo won't give you your money back even if you want to cancel it. And so that's before the release date, which you'd think would free the consumer up to be in the right. And so that's the ongoing thing between Nintendo and the German Consumer Protection Authority. And so from website Pressfire, who wrote this up, because apparently this originally started in Norway, someone tried to get their pre-order back and then they couldn't, and they've started off with this government body in Norway. But a statement from Pressfire says that Nintendo claims that the ability to preload games following a pre-order means that distribution has, in a sense, begun, despite those games not yet being playable. Which is madness, because they're digital.
The thing is, you should always be able to get a refund from online things if you haven't consumed them. So if you haven't loaded the game, then yes, you should be able to get a refund. Mm-hmm. I understand their point of saying it's on your console. It's on your console, so you've technically been distributed it. But like, if you were sent something from online,
if it was physical,
if you bought something online and then were sent it, you'd be able to send it back, like clothes or whatever. Like, totally. My desk is always covered in ASOS parcels. You can see what you've ordered online and then go, actually, that's not for me. Send it back. I haven't used it. Send it back. Like, same it should be for a game as well.
I think the only potential, because they said, distribution has in a sense begun, and it's like, not really. The nearest thing to digital distribution in the sense that I think they're getting at is if something was being preloaded, like which I don't even think you can do on the eShop. Like, if you're on PS4 or Xbox, you can already download the game. You just can't access it until midnight. Yeah. And so I don't think you can do that on the Switch. I could be wrong. But even if that is the case, that might be what they're referring to. But they can easily just delete it again.
Yeah, I assume that's what they're referring to. But if it's downloaded, locked, and you send it back, then they just rescind your key for actually playing.
You'd assume
the game.
So, yeah.
Especially before it's even been released. Mm-hmm. I agree that you should be able to refund a pre-order.
Totally. I think that a general sort of reckoning has been a long time coming in regards to digital products and stuff. Because I think that the Steam store has a good refund policy, the 2-week bracket thing, which is what Xbox took over as well. I mean, it's based on playtime too, so you can't just like completely cane a game in 2 weeks. I think it's based on, it's 2 hours play or something. And so like, you basically fire something up. I mean, basically for me, I think that the consumer needs something to be protected against games like Fallout 76 or something that
it wasn't that bad.
No, but point being that it's not what you expect. It's something that maybe grab your kids, but something that's potentially like doesn't play very well or is immediately buggy or isn't what you expect it to be, there should be a way to go, this isn't what I want, and take it back, because you would with any other faulty product. And it's just kind of strange that even if it was physical, you could take it back to a shop and be like, this isn't playing
well. Or just trade it in.
Trade it in. And so like, if you have physical media, you have those way out, that way out, but you don't have that on digital.
That is something I would like to see in digital stores, is like a depreciated sort of credit that you could trade in games for a new game. Mm-hmm. So like, if you've had like Red Dead on a digital download and something else, then you can get them all together and say, I'm going to trade these in for a certain amount of coins to go towards credit for other games. Mm-hmm. That'd be really good, and that would be a good way of saying what we
do. A lot of shops do that. Kind of, don't they?
Online.
Oh, sorry, no, I thought you meant physical.
No.
I've been trading for years.
The PlayStation store, for example. Do you know what? It's kind of weird that they haven't done something like that.
Then they could just completely wipe out the need for refunds, because they can say, well, you can trade it in for a depreciated value, like when you're trading in actual games, and they're like, oh, well, you can buy this light bulb and set it back for less because of the markup.
Nonsense. I mean, to be honest, to bring it back to...
Okay, yeah.
We don't want the light bulbs. To be fair, to bring it back to Nintendo, though, they do have a really cool gold coin system where every time you buy something, they give you it's like a 10% or a, what is it, 1%
It's a tiny little percent, and then the next time you buy something, they'll be like, you have some coins, do you want to take £2 off your purchase?
Okay. So it's like, if you spend, say you spend £50, I think they give you £5 back or... That's something 10%. Like or 50 pence. It's something like
that. No, it's like 1%.
Either way, it's a fraction of your price, but that builds up, and then over time you have this list, and they say, hey, do you want to, like, you go buy a game and say, hey, do you want to use your coins instead? And you go, yes, I've got 3 pence. I will use that.
No, that's lovely. That's also a good way of doing it. I feel less angry about not getting refunds. Than, like, well, at least they'll give you some money for actually buying. True.
It's a tech all, but it's something.
It's something.
It works with physical as well. You just register the physical game as your game, and you get the coins from it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think, they, like, considering how backwards Nintendo can be, that's a nice policy, and that's very consumer-friendly. They could do with something that has, they could do with a digital refund system as well, though.
Yeah.
Just because the amount of shovelware, like, mobile port bullhopping, to stay away from swearing on YouTube, that is on the eShop is kind of ridiculous.
Even if it's just coins they give you back as well, that's a nice way to do it. They don't just give you your money back, they give you credit back for the store. That's
you can use it again.
Again, another way around it that helps the company as well as the consumers.
So the way that it is at the minute, this lawsuit is over pre-orders and the idea of being able to cancel digital pre-orders, but I have to assume or hope that it'll snowball into the wider conversation as to digital refunds because, Xbox are very consumer-friendly and they've like taken Steam's refund policy and Steam's refund policy is, for the most part, accepted as a good way to go. So hopefully it'll work out for everyone.
So
you guys can let us know what you think down in the comments below of all these different news things or find us on social media. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ash.
Hello, I've been Ash, and goodbye.
And joined by Rach.
Thanks for watching.
I'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.